Mr. Kesselbach stopped short on the threshold of the sitting room, took his secretary's arm, and in an anxious voice whispered,
"Chapman, someone has been here again."
"Surely not, sir," protested the secretary. "You've just opened the hall door yourself, and the key never left your pocket while we were lunching in the restaurant."
"Chapman, someone has been here again," Mr. Kesselbach repeated.
He pointed to a travelling bag on the mantelpiece.
"Look, I can prove it. That bag was shut. It is now open."
Chapman protested. "Are you quite sure that you shut it, sir? Besides, the bag contains nothing but odds and ends of no value, articles of dress."
"It contains nothing else, because I took my pocketbook out before we went down by way of precaution. But for that—"
"No, Chapman, I tell you, someone has been here while we were at lunch." There was a telephone on the wall. He took down the receiver. "Hello, I'm Mr. Kesselbach, suite 415. That's right. Mademoiselle, would you please put me on to the Prefecture of Police, the detective department? I know the number. One second. Here it is. Number 82248. I'll hold the line." A moment later, he continued.
"Are you 82248? I should like a word with Monsieur Lenormand, the chief of the detective service. My name's Kesselbach. Hello? Yes, the chief detective knows what it's about. He has given me leave to ring him up. Oh, he's not there. To whom am I speaking? Detective Sergeant Gorel. You were there yesterday, were you not, when I called on Monsieur Lenormand? Well, the same thing that I told Monsieur Lenormand yesterday has occurred again today. Someone has entered the suite which I am occupying, and if you come at once, you may be able to discover some clues. In an hour or two? All right, thanks. You have only to ask for suite 415. Thank you again."
Rudolf Kesselbach, nicknamed alternatively the King of Diamonds and the Lord of the Cape, possessed a fortune estimated at nearly 20 million sterling. For the past week, he had occupied suite 415 on the fourth floor of the Palace Hotel, consisting of three rooms, of which the two larger, on the right, the sitting room and the principal bedroom, faced the avenue, while the other, on the left, in which Chapman, the secretary, slept, looked out on the Rue de Judée. Adjoining this bedroom, a suite of five rooms had been reserved for Mrs. Kesselbach, who was to leave Monte Carlo, where she was at present staying, and join her husband the moment she heard from him. Rudolf Kesselbach walked up and down for a few minutes with a thoughtful air. He was a tall man, with a ruddy complexion, and still young, and his dreamy eyes, which showed pale blue through his gold-rimmed spectacles, gave him an expression of gentleness and shyness that contrasted curiously with the strength of the square forehead and the powerfully developed jaws. He went to the window. It was fastened. Besides, how could anyone have entered that way? The private balcony that ran round the flat broke off on the right and was separated on the left by a stone channel from the balconies in the Rue de Judée. He went to his bedroom. It had no communication with the neighbouring rooms. He went to his secretary's bedroom. The door that led into the five rooms...